We went over the first chapter of Ephesians. I thought maybe I'd read through chapter 2 this morning. What's in the book that we have is probably a little better than what I'm going to give you this morning, but who knows? The Lord might show us something a little deeper, a little newer. Paul wrote this book on Ephesians, and it's very deep, and it takes some of the revelation we were just talking about in order to understand what Paul is talking about. But beginning with verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." And that word quickened, what it means is to make alive. "And you, he hath made you alive, who were once dead in trespasses and sin." That's exactly what's happened to us. And we can't look at it as a completed work yet. But this is what he is endeavoring to do, because we were the ones that were dead in trespasses and sins. But he is making us to come alive unto him. It's not a one-day job, but that it's a continuation that what we're going through. Verse 2, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world." And here again, as in many cases, the Greek word for world here is aion, and it means age. "In times past you walked according to the course of this age," this particular age, this particular age of the trespasses and sins, "according to the prince of the power of the air." Greek word for air there is A-E-R, and it means the lower rims of the air. And in other words, this prince of the power of the air is a spirit that is now working in the children of disobedience. In other words, that spirit is working in man. The Greek word for children there is huios, H-U-I-O-S. There are three Greek words in particular. There is technon, which means children, and technion, which means very young children. The huios has to do with those who have become mature. They are mature sons. Well, so what this is saying, that the Spirit works in the sons of disobedience, those who have taken on a life of disobedience. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation," should be behavior. We all had our behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You know, there's two things there. The desires of the flesh, and then there's the desires of the mind. And when we are fulfilling those things, that's when, by nature, we become the children of wrath. Children of wrath there is the Greek word technon, if you're interested. They haven't become sons yet, but they're children. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us," make us come alive, "together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Now, I know most Christians look at that as a done thing. They go to church and they repent and they get a blessing and they receive Christ as their Savior and they say, "Well, I'm saved now." But the Greek doesn't read that way. By grace you are being saved. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing process of being saved or becoming what we're to be in Him. So even when we were dead in sins, and that's what we were, in our natural life we were dead. Dead to God. But we are being quickened, or in the process of coming alive to God, and in that sense we are being saved. 6, and He has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The word places there is in italics, it's not in the original. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Those heavenlies are in Christ. So when we move into His life, we are moving into the heavenlies. We think of heaven as the realm above us, like what the astronauts went through going to the moon. But the heavenlies is not a place in the sky. The heavenlies is a place in Christ. It is His nature becoming what He is. So the Lord has raised us up together, and He's making us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You want to go to heaven? You don't have to leave the earth. You just need to move into Christ. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, or the coming ages, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for in Christ are you being saved. Again, it's an ongoing process that's taking place. You just don't walk up to the altar and when you walk away, well, now I'm saved, it's done, it's a done deal. No, we've just taken the first step and we are being saved. Every time we meet here is a new step, or should be, in moving in to our salvation in Christ. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus would be more correct. For by grace are you being saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We can't take any credit for our salvation. It's not something we did. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about in becoming a Christian. It's a gift of God. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13.
For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Can we see that God is not just saving us, forgiving us of all of our sins and everything, and giving us salvation, but it goes beyond that. We're becoming part of Christ. Christ is becoming a many-membered Christ. And He without us is not what God wants. God wants us as a member and part of Christ, just like this whole body's got legs, feet, arms, all the different parts of this body, but it's one body. And so Paul is saying in the same manner that Christ is becoming many members, and all those members together make one Christ. I think that's fantastic.
And he brings, I noticed when you read this, verse 5 and 6, how many times he used the word together.
Yes.
We were quickened together, raised up together, sit together in heavenly places. But that together really stood yeah. out, that it's not an individual deal. We're part of a body, and that oneness is very vital and necessary.
Yes, it is. And this whole section here gives the understanding of how very important it is that we all have to become members of Christ, that we cannot see Him as just Jesus the Nazarene, but Christ involves many. And all this is done, that we're created in Jesus, for what reason? Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And walking always has to do with progression, moving forward, increasing. All right, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles, and the Christians in Ephesus were Gentiles, that was in Greece, in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Now, he's getting into something almost a little different here. The uncircumcision would be Gentiles. The circumcision is referring to the Jews. So, you got the Gentiles and you got the Jews. And he's going to talk about a wall of partition that's dividing the two. Let's read on. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, there's the difference. And strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So, when you read the Old Testament and you read all of the provisions and everything and how God was dealing with Israel, that was pretty much leaving out the Gentiles, and that's what he's talking about. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In other words, because of that crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his shedding of blood, the Gentiles are brought in to the same promises that the Jews have. I got Galatians 3:28 part there. Someone read that.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ yeah. Jesus.
So, what Paul is basically saying is, he does not take the Jews and make them Christians or Gentiles. And he doesn't take the Gentiles and make them Jews. But he takes both of them and makes one new man in Christ. That's the thing. As a Jew, we're not what we should be yet. As a Gentile, we're not what we should be yet. But he takes the two together and bring them into Christ so that they become one. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 14, for he is our peace who hath made both one. That's what I was saying. Take the Gentiles and the Jews, and he makes them one. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That was dividing the Jews and the Gentiles is removed so that they can become one. Verse 15. Having abolished us in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. In other words, all of the law of commandments are even removed. And he's taken the two, the Jew and the Greek, pulling the Jews out of Judaism, the Greeks out of what they were in, and bringing them all into Christ and making them one new man, for to make in himself of twain, that's of two, one new man, so making peace. Where it says, for to make, having abolished us in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself. The Greek reads just a little bit different. It doesn't say for to make, it says that he might create. And that's what he's doing. He's creating. He's taking both, the Jew and the Greek, and he's creating them anew, that is, bringing them into Christ. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. And of course, that body is Christ, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Those that were far off were the Gentiles, those that were nigh or close were the Jews. Verse 18, for through him we both have access, we both, the Jew and the Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I think that's pretty good. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. The Jews and the Gentiles are becoming fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Just like you build a house, you make the foundation, and that foundation is a cornerstone whereby everything is built upon that. Christ is the cornerstone of the building up of the new body of Christ that involves all the various members of Gentiles and Jews. Verse 21, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded, or make it a little better, in whom you also are being built. It's a progressive thing. Together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So you see that he takes the Jews and he takes the Greeks, he makes one new man, and then they become the habitation or the place where God dwells through the Spirit. We got a long ways to go yet, folks.